In Puerto Rico, there's adventure around every corner and natural treasures waiting to be explored, like El Yunque, the only tropical rainforest in the U.S. Get swept away by natural beauty and come away with unique stories that could only be experienced in Puerto Rico and that remind you why you travel in the first place. Visits end, but stories last forever. You don't become a part of the island, it becomes a part of you. No passports required for U.S. citizens and permanent residents. Learn more and plan your trip at discoverpuertorico.com.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, it's your old pal Josh, and for this week's SYSK Selects, I've chosen how electroconvulsive therapy works. This one was an eye-opening episode. It came out in May of 2013, and prior to this, I always thought it was just kind of a barbaric treatment that was used to keep patients quiet, when actually, in reality, it's an effective therapy that is still in use today. Like I said, eye-opening. I hope you enjoy it.
Welcome to Stuff You Should Know from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey, and welcome to the podcast. I'm Josh Clark, and there's Charles W. Chuck Bryant, which means it's time for Stuff You Should Know.
Indeed. Shocking addition. See, I take the rap for a bad pun, but you, in fact, said that before we recorded.
I know. Before we recorded.
Oh, so okay.
I have a public image I have to carefully tend to.
Gotcha.
Chuck.
Yes.
Have you ever seen or read or both One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest?
Yes, both.
Oh, yeah? Did you like the book more than the movie or vice versa?
Both. Book was great. I've seen the movie a dozen times.
Yeah.
One of my faves.
It is a great movie.
Yeah.
I haven't read the book, although I was a Ken Kesey fan. I thought he was a cool dude.
Yeah, I've read a few of his.
What else did he write?
He did the, well, actually, he didn't write. That was Tom Wolfe that wrote the Electric Light Ass strip, but yeah. Kesey was figured prominently, obviously.
Oh, yeah. He was the main character.
Kesey wrote the, crap. I'll come back to it.
Okay. He wrote the, what was it?
The book.
Well, if you haven't seen or read One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, you totally should. It is, like Chuck was saying, one of the best movies of all time. It is a great book, apparently. And one of the things that factors into it, set in an insane asylum in the 50s, I would say, maybe 60s. And one of the, I guess, almost a character in this movie or book is electroconvulsive therapy.
Yes.
Which the staff uses to basically keep the patients in check. Just the very threat of getting electroconvulsive therapy, shock treatment, a type of shock treatment, we should say, is enough to just keep everybody very docile and calm and settled down. When they start to get riled up, you can just ask them, do you want some shock treatment? And they're like, no, everything's good.
Right.
Everything's fine. And apparently, because of that, and Kesey worked as an orderly in a mental institution in Oregon, so he saw this firsthand when he wrote it.
Sure.
Because of that, ECT got a pretty bad rap over the course of a couple of decades, to the point where it was basically forced almost out of existence.
Yeah.
And it wasn't just Kesey making this stuff up. Like you said, he was a disorderly, like the Fat Boys. But there was also a study in 1985 by the National Institutes of Health that found like that was pretty common practice among mental institutions at the time, because it was drug free.
Yeah,
it was just using electrical shock,
and it wasn't a lobotomy,
right? And the effects were temporary.
Yeah,
and apparently it worked to keep everybody in line, but that's a gross abuse of this pretty effective therapy for mental illness.
Yeah, for severe depression. And these days, it is approved by the National Institute of Mental Health, the APA, the AMA, and the U.S. Surgeon General. And they all say that if used properly, ECT these days, in a tweaked version of what they did back then,
right,
can be very beneficial. And Kitty Dukakis wife of Michael Dukakis, mm-hmm. former presidential nominee, mm-hmm. till he rode in a tank,
yeah.
Wrote a book because she had it, and it's called Shock, The Healing Powers of Electroconvulsive Therapy. And it helped her out. And I've read excerpts and reviews and stuff, and she doesn't like champion it for everyone or anything, but gives a lot of like great history and then says how it has helped her in her journey
right.
through depression.
Apparently it also helped Dick Cavett.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Interesting.
It did not help so much Sylvia Plath or Ernest Hemingway.
Right.
But, yeah, it's been used on a decent amount of people. Apparently about 100,000 Americans a year undergo electroconvulsive therapy.
Yeah. 6 feet Under?
Who got shot?
George. The James Cromwell?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We've already spoiled that show, so we might.
Yeah. That one. We should just, like, do dramatic readings from scripts. So we should also say before we go forward, it's very easy to call it electroshock therapy.
Right.
That's kind of right. Electroconvulsive therapy is a type of shock therapy. And shock therapies, the aim is to shock your system into having a convulsion. Because as far back as Hippocrates, it was noticed that people who had mental illnesses who experienced convulsions tended to feel a little better after they experienced their seizures.
Yeah.
So what you're trying to do with any kind of shock treatment is induce a seizure and a convulsion, because no one knows why still to this day, but it does something to your brain.
Yeah.
And can cure, whether temporarily or permanently, mental illness.
Yeah, I wonder how this... I didn't think about it till just now. I wonder how it ties in with, like, a temper tantrum, like a kid feeling better afterward or more settled afterward, or an adult that just loses it, yeah. you know, and then, you know, I think everyone's truly lost it before in some emotional way. And then sure. afterward, you're like, boy, I feel like more relaxed now.
Right. Like resetting after like a catharsis.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I bet you it's sort of similar pathways in the brain.
Right. Except this is with electricity.
Exactly.
So let's talk about the history of shock therapies and electroconvulsive therapy, or ECT. That's easier to say.
So one thing that they did in the 20th century, they started to experiment with insulin shock,
yeah.
where they would just dose the crud out of somebody with insulin and basically like bring them into a coma. And in the coma, they would have convulsions. Is that right?
Yeah.
Like while
that was
under?
That was the point. Like they figured out this guy named Ladislaus von Maduna, who was a Hungarian physician.
Is that real?
Yeah. He figured out that if you take insulin and inject it in somebody, it puts them in a coma, temporary coma. That you can bring them out of with glucose.
Right.
And then while they're in the coma, they have seizures. And he was probably the first modern physician to suggest that there was a link between seizures.
Yeah.
Or, seizures and the curing of mental illness.
Right.
He took it one step too far in saying that schizophrenia and epilepsy were counterproductive maladies.
Right.
So if you had one, you couldn't have the other.
Yeah, not true.
He was wrong about that, but he was right about seizures having a curative effect on mental illness, though.
Interesting.
But he was the one who started championing using insulin to produce seizures.
So he led the way, followed by Italian scientists in the 1930s who finally brought electricity into it.
Well, hold on. There was another guy, too.
Oh, before the 1938 guys?
Yeah. Like, right around the same time, there were all these competing shock therapies.
Okay.
Using, and there was the insulin guy, and then there was another dude named Manfred Seckel. And he was testing something called metrazole, which is a respiratory stimulant.
Uh-huh.
And when you give somebody this stuff, they have seizures. And it's very reliable, and it's very powerful, more uh-huh. powerful than insulin. And it requires less recuperation time and hospitalization time. The problem is it's so powerful that like 42% of patients who had shock therapy using metrazole suffered spinal fractures.
Oh, wow.
From
Jeez.
Because the convulsions were so hardcore.
Yeah, like The Exorcist?
Yeah, and then some.
All right, game off. Let's pause here to talk more about Monopoly Go. Because in Monopoly Go, you can team up with your friends for timed tournaments where you work together to build up each other's boards. It's very nice.
That's right. And the more you win together, the more awesome prizes you unlock. And there's so much to get. I'm talking about unique stickers that you can trade with friends to complete albums for big prizes, cool new playing pieces to travel the boards with, or hilarious emojis for taunting friends when you smash their buildings or heist their vaults.
Plus, Monopoly Go feels new and exciting every day with constantly changing tournaments and challenges, like digging for treasure or a robot pachinko machine. And there's always new timed events that help you win big, like massive multipliers for everything you win or rent frenzies.
That's right. There's always something fun to discover in Monopoly Go. So get off the bench and go download it now for free on Google Play or the App Store. Game on. Hey friends, if you've ever been in the market for a new home, you know home shopping can be a lot. There's so much you don't know and so much you need to know. Like, what are the neighborhoods like? What are the schools like? Who is the agent who knows the listing or neighborhood the best? And why can't all this information just be in one place?
Yeah, well, now it is, everybody, on Homes.com. They've got everything you need to know about the listing itself, but even better. They've got comprehensive neighborhood guides and detailed reports about local schools, and their agent directory helps you see the agent's current listings and sales history. Homes.com collaboration tools make it easier than ever to share all this information with your family.
It's a whole cul-de-sac of home shopping information all at your fingertips. Homes.com, we've done your homework.
Now are we electricity?
Yeah.
In 1938, they discovered electricity. No, wait. That's not true.
That was close. I think it was like the 20s.
These Italians, they were scientists, and they said, we can use this to jolt this guy like with these delusions. He's clearly suffering. Let's shock him with electricity. And the delusions receded after like several treatments. And then just a few years later in the 1940s, it was being used as a regular treatment in the U.S. for schizophrenia, depression, bipolarism. But it's not like it is today.
No.
A far cry.
You said they've tweaked it. They've definitely improved it. They figured it out. Like, we were a little barbaric before.
No anesthesia back then.
Yeah, so you were wide awake and conscious when they applied an electroshock to your brain.
Like in Cuckoo's Nest.
Yeah.
Violent physical reactions with the body.
Right.
That don't happen these days.
Like because, the convulsions were very powerful.
Yeah, because A, there's anesthesia, and they also these days put muscle relaxers and stuff everywhere except the big foot. Is there a big foot? The foot, a single foot.
Well, when it has a blood pressure cuff on it, I'm sure it is the big foot of the two. But yeah, they introduce it intravenously, and then they put a blood pressure cuff on your around your ankle.
So your body isn't like convulsing anymore, but they can tell what's going on by EEGs and stuff, and then the foot, single foot's movement.
Yeah, because you're keeping the muscle relaxer and I guess the anesthesia out of the foot.
Yeah, so someone's actually a doctor looking just at your foot.
Supposedly. I haven't seen that anywhere else. I saw that like they, even with the muscle relaxants, your fists are going to clench and unclench and your chest might heave.
Yeah, and they'll still put a tongue thing in your mouth to keep you from biting your tongue off.
Right, but the cumulative effect of it is not going to be felt at all by you because you're out under general anesthesia and you're probably feeling pretty good anyway.
Yeah, that's true.
Thanks to Mr. Muscle Relaxer.
And then the way you've always seen it on TV, even when they portray modern, like on 6 Feet Under, they show people are always rendered this like zombies, like lobotomized essentially. Right. And that's not what's going on these days.
No, well, even back then, it was kind of a caricature of what a person looked like coming out of it because there is memory loss associated with it.
Yeah, and there still is.
Yeah, there was then, there still is now. So I think that it's almost like that's what some artist's rendering or some director's rendering of what somebody with memory loss looks like.
Right.
And so that's what just kind of got picked up in the popular culture following ECT is you're just like catatonic, lobotomized, zombie-like.
Yeah.
But really, that's shorthand for there's weird memory loss.
Yeah, and these days they're going to check you out a lot more beforehand, I think, especially in the media portrayed it as, some like a McMurtry in One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Yeah.
He's causing problems. Let's just drag him in there, strap him down, and shock him.
Yeah.
These days
you're
going
to... like five disorderlies to hold him down.
Exactly. You're going to go through a battery of pre-treatments, like blood tests, electrocardiograms, They're going to give you a physical, they're going to give you a mental, and they're going to make sure you're a good fit all the way around for this kind of treatment. It's, you know, it's not as, I don't know if it was willy-nilly back then, but that's how it appeared to be at least.
And there's actually a decision by the FDA. It's an electroconvulsive therapy machine. Is a class 3, I believe.
Yeah.
Device.
Just the strictest.
Right.
And classification.
And so it was up for reclassification for a little while. And they said, you know what? We're going to stick with this classification because it's used for electroshocks. And a lot of people said, whoa, whoa, whoa.
Like that's old stuff.
Yeah. You guys, this is you're still looking at it under this the medieval use from the 40s and 50s.
Right.
Things have changed by then. But I have to say, I mean, I kind of am comforted by the fact that you still have to go to a doctor. It's not like the same thing as going for like laser hair removal.
Sure.
Like you can't also get ECT in the same office. Like it's very much medicalized, and I think it should be because we still don't understand what the mechanisms are.
Yeah, that's true. They will pulse your brain. You know, you've got these little things about the size of a quarter, these pads on the side of your head, either on both sides or one side, and they pulse you with for 1 millisecond. Even though I think recently, even shorter, like millisecond, 0.25 to 0.37 milliseconds.
Yeah, that's what they're
starting
using
to
these
use.
Days.
And I guess that's like, is it for more humane purposes or because it works better?
I think they're finding that it works at least as well, but there's also fewer side effects. Like apparently a 1 millisecond pulse of electricity is enough to like really interrupt memory consolidation, I guess. Whereas, like, a quarter of a millisecond, it's not so bad.
All right. And these days, you're going to get it 2 to 3 times a week for 3 to 4 weeks is a typical treatment.
Yeah, that's a course.
5 or 10 minutes at a time.
Yeah, from the time that they inject you with the anesthesia till the time you start to wake up is about 10 minutes. Which, I mean, like, that doesn't sound like much. But if you're doing that 2 to 3 times a week for several weeks,
sure.
I'll bet that's a period of your life that you have a lot of trouble remembering much of.
I don't think it's a picnic still.
No, because you are still coming out of it. You're still groggy coming out of anesthesia. You can still be confused. What's ironic is now that they use anesthesia, you probably look more like the portrayal of people coming out of ECT in the 50s than they did back then.
Because they were anesthetized?
Yeah, they weren't.
No, yeah, that's what I mean, though, today. That's funny. I didn't think about it like that. I found one stat.
It's not funny, well, monster.
I found one stat that said it is effective in 75 to 80% of people these days with severe depression, whereas antidepressants are only effective about 60% of the time.
Yeah, and that's pretty much what they're using it for, is just like major depression.
Yeah.
Is pretty much the thing that they found, like, okay, it's really effective for this.
Like when drugs don't work?
Well, that's usually when they're turning to it.
Right.
Is after antidepressant hasn't worked. But this is like a pretty significant rebound, 100,000 people a year getting this, and it coming under wide medical and public acceptance.
Sure.
Because just as recently in the 80s, there's a stat in this article that says between 85 and 2002, the use of ECT in England dropped by half.
Wow.
And that was because there was a rise of antidepressants. It's like,
you
can take these pills or we can put electrodes on your brain and zap you. What do you want to do?
Right.
But then as physicians, I guess, were finding that there were plenty of people out there who don't respond well to antidepressants. Shock therapy is a great alternative. And if you suffer from major depression and you are suicidal or at risk for suicide, they may hop right to ECT because the results are so much faster.
Huh. That makes sense.
I know.
Well, one of the interesting things they pointed out too was that once you've had ECT, if drugs were not previously effective on you, then the antidepressants can extend the good effects of the ECT longer.
Right, yeah.
Which was interesting because, like, I guess they can work in concert if you go ECT first.
Which makes it sound like the ECT goes in there and, like, shakes things loose, and then the drugs come in and, like, keep their functioning going, keep the new and improved functioning going. And we should say, like, all this is theory. No one knows specifically what ECT does to the brain. We just know it works. Then we should also say no one's exactly certain how antidepressants work,
right,
or what effects they have on the brain. But there's a couple of theories that are kind of brain-based. One is that the idea is that the electricity changes how blood flows,
yeah,
or how cells metabolize things, and that leads to some sort of improved function.
Yeah. The other one is they think it might release certain chemicals that can help out. And everything I've read sort of likens it to a like a control alt delete reset or like some sort of reset function on your brain. I think they likened it in here to turning the stereo down. Like there's just so much noise and this just sort of resets a troubled brain.
Right. Yeah. There was a study in from Scotland in 2012 where they did brain scans of people with major depression before ECT and after a round of ECT. And they found that these regions associated with mood and emotion were less active.
Right.
And so they said that they basically altered the functional connectivity of these regions between the regions so that the person could think more clearly, was less distracted.
Huh.
And they think that that had an effect on reducing their depression.
Well, and they tested with placebos too. And I think like anytime you test with a placebo, you're going to find that there's going to be a little bit of it that works.
But, yeah,
you know, but not always. And that's what they found here is that some of the people that were told that they received ECT put under.
Didn't you think this is kind of mean?
Yeah, they would put them under and say they did it and not do it.
Yeah.
The people with ECT did recover faster, but there were some that received the fake treatment that did recover as well. So they think that might have just been because they received that extra TLC from proper clinician.
And the free drugs.
That's true.
So we should say there are risks to it. Like there's at least two types of memory loss associated with ECT. One is you have trouble making memories around the appointment.
Right.
Which is to be expected. That usually fades. Then there's larger memory loss that of past events long before your ECT therapy.
Yeah.
But that also fades. Not in all people, though. So there is like memory loss associated with it.
Right.
With zapping the brain with electricity. Who would have thought?
Go figure.
And then you can also die. 1 in 10,000 patients undergoing it dies. But they say that that's...
One in how many?
1 in 10,000. So every year, 10 people die from ECT in America.
Wow.
But they say that that's typically a reaction to or a result of anesthesia, like just going under.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Which is dangerous in and of itself.
You're going to get headaches, obviously, and some muscle pain. But I don't think it's anything quite like the old days as far as muscle pain and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And you will still find people that poo-poo it, of course. But this article points out a lot of those people are the same people that are pretty anti-psychiatry in general. And stuff like this. So that seems like a bit of a leap to me.
What?
From the author to say that.
Yeah. At least she wasn't just like Scientologists. Hate it.
True.
You got anything else?
I got nothing else.
Let's go try this out.
I would certainly try it out if I needed it.
Okay. Yeah, I would too.
You know?
But there's something appealing to me about using electricity over drugs.
Yeah. Like you know? Drugs are some great thing to pump your body full of.
Yeah. It's just, I don't know. I wonder if it's going to become more and more widespread, and, you know?
Yeah.
And if it comes back gangbusters, man, that's really going to be impressive because it was almost gone.
Yeah, true.
You know? Imagine if the lobotomy came back.
Yeah.
I mean, I know it's still around, but
right. It's
not back
but not
by
the,
any means.
Sure.
You know? ECT is back, baby.
Maybe a little bloodletting, a little leaching.
Right. If you want to learn more about electroconvulsive therapy, type that word in the search bar at howstuffworks.com and see if you can do it on the first try. And since I said search bar, I guess it's time for message break. Stuff you should know. All right, game off. Let's pause here to talk more about Monopoly Go. Because in Monopoly Go, you can team up with your friends for timed tournaments where you work together to build up each other's boards. It's very nice.
That's right. And the more you win together, the more awesome prizes you unlock. And there's so much to get. I'm talking about unique stickers that you can trade with friends to complete albums for big prizes, cool new playing pieces to travel the boards with, or hilarious emojis for taunting friends when you smash their buildings or heist their vaults.
Plus, Monopoly Go feels new and exciting every day with constantly changing tournaments and challenges, like digging for treasure or a robot pachinko machine. And there's always new timed events that help you win big, like massive multipliers for everything you win or rent frenzies.
That's right. There's always something fun to discover in Monopoly Go. So get off the bench and go download it now for free on Google Play or the App Store. Game on. Hey friends, if you've ever been in the market for a new home, you know home shopping can be a lot. There's so much you don't know and so much you need to know. Like, what are the neighborhoods like? What are the schools like? Who is the agent who knows the listing or neighborhood the best? And why can't all this information just be in one place?
Yeah, well, now it is, everybody, on Homes.com. They've got everything you need to know about the listing itself, but even better. They've got comprehensive neighborhood guides and detailed reports about local schools, and their agent directory helps you see the agent's current listings and sales history. Homes.com collaboration tools make it easier than ever to share all this information with your family.
It's a whole cul-de-sac of home shopping information all at your fingertips. Homes.com, we've done your homework.
And now, listener mail.
Yes, and I'm going to call this misheard song lyrics.
Oh, yeah.
I can't remember which one we asked
Panama
about this.
Canal.
Was
Panama?
That it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Everyone has misheard sound lyrics. Excuse me while I kiss the sky.
Yeah.
Jimi Hendrix. Wrapped up like a douche.
Yeah.
Manfred Mann. That's not what he's saying.
No, wrapped up like a deuce. Like a, he's talking about craps.
Is he?
Craps or some other sort of gambling?
I don't think so. Because Springsteen wrote the song, and it was cut loose like a deuce, and he's talking about a car engine.
I've heard gambling.
Springsteen wrote it.
Okay.
And then Manfred Mann changed it. And it's funny, Springsteen has come out and said, you know, that song didn't become popular until it became about feminine hygiene. And then it was like a big deal.
Yeah.
Or there's a bathroom on the right, CCR, instead of a bad moon.
Oh, yeah, I hadn't heard that one.
There's a bathroom.
No, I know the song, but I mean, like, I've never heard anybody thinking he's saying there's a bathroom on the right.
It's fairly common.
Okay.
All right, so we got one from Cheryl. Hey, guys, first of all, I want to say you're still keeping me company on days when I get time to work on my art projects. You're still as great as ever. I was just listening to Panama Canal, and I thought I'd pop you a quick note to give you a grin. Misinterpreted lyrics were my specialty as a kid. Far and away, my most famous moment was when I was 5 or 6 listening to Madonna with my auntie, and I would sing, Papa Dom Bridge, I'm in trouble deep. She said, thing is, this really made sense to me, and logically, if a bridge is made out of Papa Doms, which are, do you know what those are? Sort of like a flatbread, like a crispy tortilla, sort of.
No.
It's like a crispy flatbread.
Gotcha.
So if a bridge was made out of Papa Doms, it would be bound to be weak. And if someone were to walk over it, it would break, and they'd fall in the river below and hence be in trouble deep.
Yeah.
And my dad still teases me about that to this day.
It does make sense in a certain childish way.
Yeah, Cheryl, Papa Dom Bridge, well done.
That's funny. Yumi's mom, she's from Okinawa. She calls Madonna Papa Don't Preach.
Oh, calls her that?
Yeah.
That's her name?
She's like, are you listening to Papa Don't Preach again?
My friend Fox had the best misheard song lyric ever, and I was racking my brain earlier trying to remember it, and I cannot.
Yeah.
So
there's some good ones out there.
I'll try and remember and post it or something. I'll get in touch with Fox.
Okay.
It was a funny one.
Nice.
You got any good ones?
I'm like racking my brain right now, and I know I've got one, and I can't remember it.
Do you have one, Jerry?
Jerry looks like she does. What
Would
is
you like
it, Jerry?
To tell us? Jerry just said, if you did not hear, instead of Voices Carry by
Till Tuesday.
Amy Mann, Until Amy Tuesday.
Mann. Horses scare me.
Hush, shush. Hush, keep it down. Horses scare me.
Don't attract any horses because they scare me. Do you know that technically Till Tuesday was the first band I ever saw live?
Oh, really?
At my first concert, Hall & Oates.
Yeah.
At the University of Toledo Coliseum.
They opened up, huh?
Till Tuesday opened up.
Nice. Boy, I never really thought about that because I always say, oh, my first concert was Cheap Trick.
Yeah.
I don't say it was John Waite who opened up for Cheap Trick.
Was it really John Waite?
Yeah.
Man, I would have loved to have seen that one.
And those are real concerts. Like, I went to Kenny Rogers and stuff when I was a kid. And people are like, Kenny Rogers is real.
Yeah.
It is.
I was about to say the same thing.
I met concerts that my family didn't drag me to.
Gotcha.
That I paid my own money for. And
I gotcha.
Like, where I smelled marijuana for the first time. Like a real concert.
I didn't smell any marijuana at the Hall & Oates concert.
Well, I did a Cheap Trick. I was like, what is that?
I'm sure.
Like, I've never smelled that before in my life.
Yeah.
Man.
Cheap Trick.
And everyone around me said, that is the devil's smell. Stay away.
Yeah. And you did.
That's it.
Good going, Chuckers. Is that it?
That is it.
Well, thanks to Cheryl for kicking off a pretty great little chat.
You should get Yumi's mom to call her Papa Don Bridge now.
Yeah.
See if you can get that done.
Hey, listening to Papa Don Bridge?
Yeah. Say, that's not Papa Don Preach, that's Papa Don Bridge.
What do you want? Oh, if you have any great marriage stories, we want to hear them. We haven't asked for that ever, have we?
Yeah, and I don't mean wedding day fun. I mean marriage.
I would take wedding day fun.
Those are two different things.
All right. Well, whatever you want to send
either
related
way.
To marriage,
yeah.
You can tweet to us at SYSK Podcast. You can join us on Facebook.com/StuffYouShouldKnow. And as always, go check out our awesome website, StuffYouShouldKnow.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey, if you haven't heard of Visible, well, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon as low as $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. Use promo code STUFF20 to receive $20 off your first month for listening to this podcast. Switch now at Visible.com. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. The Visible monthly rate is $25 per month.
In Puerto Rico, there's adventure around every corner and natural treasures waiting to be explored, like El Yunque, the only tropical rainforest in the U.S. Get swept away by natural beauty and come away with unique stories that could only be experienced in Puerto Rico and that remind you why you travel in the first place. Visits end, but stories last forever. You don't become a part of the island, it becomes a part of you. No passports required for U.S. citizens and permanent residents. Learn more and plan your trip at discoverpuertorico.com.